Accession number 9085, rule number 2.
Brigadier Cox, reel 2. When did you get the orders to evacuate from Bodo?
We were ordered to evacuate on the 29th of May and to move to the seashore where we were, to the fjord shore, where we were to be picked up by a destroyer.
I think at this time you encountered the son of President Roosevelt, did you not?
Well, he wasn't the son. I think he was a cousin. He was dressed as a British colonel, as the, of course, the USA were not at war at that time, and he drove up in a jeep and introduced himself and was very jovial. He asked me if I could swim, and I said not very well, and he said that I would probably have to carry him. As he weighed about 16 stone, I viewed the prospect without enthusiasm.
What was his full name?
Kermit Roosevelt. I think he was a cousin.
And did he embark?
No, he didn't. That was the last I saw him. He drove away, and I don't know what happened to him after that. Shortly afterwards, a destroyer arrived, and by extraordinary coincidence, it was commanded by Commander Garnons Williams, who was the brother of one of our company commanders. We subsequently were transferred to a liner, and we headed for home.
Was the crossing unopposed?
The crossing was unopposed. We were spotted by a German aircraft, and we feared the worst. However, shortly afterwards, a kindly fog descended and covered us nearly all the way to Scotland.
When you got back, were the men depressed at all because of what had happened in Norway?
I don't recall that anybody was in any way depressed. They all regarded it as part of the job. What was very worrying, of course, was that we'd heard the news from France that the Germans had advanced, and British forces had withdrawn to Dunkirk, and we'd heard about the subsequent withdrawal. But my memory of it was that morale was high, and we thought in our ignorance that if the Germans invaded Britain, despite the fact that we knew that we had very few tanks, very few guns, very few of anything, we would hit them for 6.
Had the men been briefed before they went to Norway as to what the purpose of the campaign was?
Oh yes, I think so. Oh yes, everybody was fully aware that Norway had been invaded, and that we were going to assist the Germans.
Assist the Norwegians.
Assist the Norwegians.
Did you see much of the Norwegian army when you got there?
I don't recall seeing I don't recall seeing the Norwegian army at all, but you must realize that we were a very small part of the force, and we had no connection with anybody outside, other than one small part of French patrol.
What impression of the Chasseurs Alpins did you get? Did they seem to be a soldierly lot or not?
We had very little cooperation. I'm not blaming them, but we were hardly in touch with them, or my company anyway was hardly in touch with them at any time. Ski patrols came and went, and there was very little cooperation.
From the description you've given of the German attack on your positions, it sounded as though the Germans didn't do very well. Was that the impression you got of them?
On that particular occasion, they were really up against it. What amazed me on reflection was that they had dared, knowing that the Navy were in the fjord all round them, and that the position opposite was occupied. It surprised me that they dared to attack across the fjord and advance against a held position. But it was only a small attack, and I didn't get the impression that they were good or bad, really, on that particular occasion.
Can you describe what the opening up of the guns of the warship was like?
Well, on that particular occasion,
yes,
it was only naval, destroyer guns, small arms, really, small guns. But I do recall that on one occasion, a battleship, I think it was the Warspite, was in action against Narvik, firing 15-inch shells over our heads into Narvik town, but I don't think they had much effect with the trajectory of a 15-inch shell against a land target. And as I've said, Narvik town itself was protected both behind by high mountains and in front by this hill which dominated the fjord in front of the town.
Were people's eardrums damaged by the Warspite's guns?
Hardly heard them. Well, we heard them.
This was when you were on the Ankenes Peninsula?
On the Ankenes Peninsula, yes.
You said the Germans had their white camouflage when they attacked.
Yes.
Did you also have white?
No. No, we didn't. No, the French chasseur had white cloaks, but no, we had nothing like that. We were ordinary British uniform, khaki. Mm-hmm.
Did you suffer much from the cold?
I don't remember it. No, you see. Right at the start, yes, in the blizzard, that blizzard which came down lasted for about 3 or 4 days. I suppose we did feel a cold, but I don't remember feeling it acutely, and I don't think any of the troops did either. We were all very fit and I don't recall any feeling cold. Well, then, of course, in May and June, May was getting warmer. See, with the midnight sun. When we first arrived, and as I say, in the blizzard, it was cold. But I don't recall there was no question of frostbite or anything like that. And we were well equipped. In fact, we were. I said we were too well equipped. We had too much heavy clothing. And I recall that we had these heavy cloaks, heavy coats, and we were lumbered. I remember at the time we were lumbered with too much heavy clothing.
You mentioned that you got on with Norwegian civilians well. Can you say in what way you got on well with them? Did they?
Well, they were friendly. They were reserved, but there was no. I didn't feel there was any animosity at any time. The only thing we were worried about was that there were. I remember that there were. We were worried that there were possibly Norwegian spies who were disclosing our positions to the Germans, but. On reflection, I think that we were imagining it. And I don't remember that we had any ill feeling.
Can you remember
what... The civil population.
Can you remember what they said to you? Did they say anything about the war?
I don't remember them discussing it with... I personally, as a junior officer and commander, was so involved with my own things that I do not recall having any conversations with Norwegian civilians.
Did they give you food or presents?
Again, I cannot recall that we had our own rations, of course. I cannot remember that they came forward with any presents or fish or anything like that. The only thing about fish I can remember was that all the Norwegian houses had long dead cod hanging down from the shutters, and the smell was terrible. But the Norwegians in that part, we were in the Arctic Circle throughout the operation, and the Norwegians in winter, all their animals occupied the ground floor of their chalets or whatever you call them, and the family occupied the rooms up above, and so they kept warm in that way.
Were your own rations adequate?
Oh, very adequate. Yes, I recall. We had no trouble at any time in that direction. We were remarkably well fed, and I say rather over clothed. But looking back on it, one of the remarkable features was the fact, as I've said, that the Irish Guards lost everything they possessed when their ship was bombed and sunk, and the Scots Guards were also very much dispersed, and we had lost everything, practically all our heavy equipment, in HMS Effingham when she was sunk, so that two battalions out of three had to be re-equipped on the spot, and were re-equipped from base stores, Norwegian base stores, British stores.
When the Germans attacked you on the Ankenes Peninsula, did your company suffer any casualties?
We suffered a very small number of casualties. I think We had its states here. We had a very small number. We lost 3 killed and 3 wounded.
Was that from your company?
My company, yes. We lost 3 killed and 3 wounded in the action, against which they took 7 prisoners, and buried 5 enemy dead. Many bodies were visible from their positions, and many more must have been lain hidden in the snow, woods, and undergrowth. I don't recall that. That's what the history said. On the Ankeness Peninsula, the adjutant ordered me to provide an escort for the brigade commander while he did a reconnaissance of Narvik from the Ankeness village, which was immediately opposite Narvik town. I followed the party, and a German shell landed fairly close. The brigade commander and the brigade major were in a glass-fronted shop, looking through their field glasses at Narvik across the narrow fjord. I went into the shop and suggested that they were rather exposed. At first, the brigade commander maintained that the firing was from the navy in the main fjord immediately to our left. However, he came out and was immediately hit in the neck, a most painful wound which left him unable to speak. Outside was a corporal in the signal platoon who immediately made a signal to the navy in the main fjord for medical help. This was forthcoming, and he was evacuated. The one man I had been ordered to protect was the only casualty.